Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's sermon is the gospel lesson, which was previously read, with a special emphasis on verse 9, where the people exclaim, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Before I begin, I give a special welcome today to Pastor Erin Rodriguez and the 10 other friends from Guatemala. Thank you so much for traveling so far to visit us this week. I'm sure your presence here will be a blessing to all of us. And that is exactly what our sermon for this evening is about. It's about blessings. Blessings received and blessings shared. Our gospel lesson for today tells us that as Jesus humbly rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, the people shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, there is a lot of blessing going on? In the New International Version of the Bible, the word bless, or some form of it, is used over 440 times. The first time is in Genesis 1:28, which says God blessed Adam and Eve and told them to be fruitful and multiply. The last time is in Revelation 22:7, where Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of prophecy in this book." Also in Genesis 32, we have that rather peculiar story where Jacob wrestles with God and refuses to let the Lord go until he receives a blessing. Also in Numbers 6, the Lord says to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace." And so, to this very day, nearly every church service ends with that blessing. But have you ever thought just what exactly does it mean to be blessed? The word is used so frequently. Now, I don't know about Guatemala, but in the United States, even when someone sneezes, we're accustomed to say, "Bless you." To be blessed by God actually means to receive a gift from God because of his great love. Now, the Bible assures us that God loves everyone. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." 1 John 2:2 also says, "Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." So the Bible makes it clear God loves everyone throughout the world, regardless of race, nationality, political affiliation, physical appearance, personal wealth, or even religious belief. Make no mistake about it, God loves everyone. Consequently, there are certain blessings he bestows on everyone. The rain that falls from the sky, that is a blessing from God. It waters the crops of the Christian farmer and the non-Christian farmer alike. Good government is a blessing from God. It makes our nation a land of peace rather than chaos. That is a blessing, whether you are a Democrat or a Republican. Your friends and your family, they are blessings from God, whether you are rich or poor. So in Matthew 5:45, Jesus says, "His heavenly Father makes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Yes, indeed, God loves everyone. Everyone is blessed, and everyone has something for which to be thankful. However, in his infinite wisdom, God has chosen to give some blessings only through faith in Jesus Christ. Christians who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior are blessed by God even in the most difficult times. Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. A beatitude is just another word for a blessing. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus reminds us of the special blessings we have through faith in him, even when times are tough. The blessings listed in the Beatitudes are not something we ever earn or deserve because of our attitude or disposition or good works. That would be contrary to what the entire Bible is all about. Rather, the Beatitudes are about Jesus and the special blessings we receive through faith in him. Jesus is the heart and center of each beatitude, and they are not understood correctly apart from him. The next time you read the Beatitudes and you want to apply them to your life, think of them like this. Blessed are you when you are poor in spirit and downtrodden, because in Christ yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you mourn the loss of your loved ones. In Christ you will be comforted. Blessed are you who are meek and gentle. In Christ you will inherit the earth. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for what is right and God-pleasing. In Christ, you will find your fulfillment. Blessed are you when you are merciful to others, because in Christ, you will be shown mercy. Blessed are you when you are pure in heart and innocent. In Christ, you will see God. Blessed are you when you make peace with those who are bitter and spiteful. In Christ, you will be called the sons of God. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for doing right. In Christ, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Christ is the heart and center of each beatitude. In him and because of him, these precious blessings listed here become ours to cling to, even in the most difficult times. But also note that these blessings God gives us and that are mentioned again and again throughout the Bible are intended to be shared with other people. Even more than that, every blessing we receive from God encourages us and empowers us to be generous with others. It's because God loves us in Christ, he blesses us with his goodness and kindness. Therefore, we are empowered to be good and kind to others. Because God loves us in Christ, he blesses us with his patience. Therefore, we are empowered to be patient with others. Because God loves us in Christ, he blesses us with his forgiveness. Therefore, we are empowered to forgive others. Out of all the blessings we receive from God, and there are so many, surely the most important is his forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness received from God through Jesus and forgiveness given to others because of Jesus is the warp and woof of the Christian faith. And we are reminded of that every time we pray the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the Greek, the second reference to forgiveness is in the past tense. It could quite properly be translated, forgive us our trespasses as we forgave those who trespass against us. But it's not usually translated that way, though, because it simply sounds so awkward. But the assumption in this fifth petition is that forgiveness, that is, forgiveness received and forgiveness given, is an essential part of Christian life. Now, forgiving those who sin against us is not always easy. If the sin is big and the hurt is deep, forgiveness may seem impossible. But there is an important spiritual distinction between finding it hard to forgive and being completely unwilling to forgive. Let me say that again. There is an important spiritual distinction between finding it hard to forgive and being completely unwilling to forgive. There may be times when all we can offer Jesus is a broken and contrite heart. I know, Lord, what you require of me. I know you want me to forgive the one who sinned against me, and I want to forgive him, but I cannot unless you help me. For such a one, poor in spirit, there is the assurance of God's grace and mercy. On the other hand, if a Christian looks another in the eye and thinks, I know God wants me to forgive you, but I don't want to do it and I will not do it. I have no intention of forgiving you. That is a completely different matter. That is extremely serious. Such an attitude can mean that one has rejected the forgiveness of Jesus. And the parable of the unmerciful servant who was thrown into jail illustrates the seriousness of such unforgiving arrogance. God has created us to receive his blessings and to share his blessings with others. That is how we're made. And no life on earth is complete or fulfilled until it lives the way God intended. So many people today are looking for fulfillment and purpose and meaning in their lives. And so our bookstores today are filled with all kinds of self-help books. There are self-help books for men, self-help books for women, self-help books for teens, self-help books to assist you with your dieting, your shyness, your lack of self-esteem. Self-help books to help you find your inner power, give you a tranquil life and a better job, master your personal magnetism, control your subconscious mind, and find your real self. And the list goes on and on and on. According to a recent analysis of the self-improvement market by Market Data Enterprises, a Tampa market research company, over $549 million a year is spent on self-help books in the United States. And I'm not going to pronounce a blanket condemnation on all those books. You may occasionally find a good idea in some of them. But my Christian friends, if you feel like your life is missing something, if you feel like you're unfulfilled or discouraged or dissatisfied with life, none of these books will really get to the root of the problem unless there is one that tells you to take a serious inventory of all of the blessings you have received from God, physical and spiritual, then make another list of how you can share these blessings with other people in your family, your workplace, your neighborhood, your church, or your classroom. Then don't just forget about that list, but think about it and daily pray that God will bring into your life opportunities to share his blessings with others. Then don't be surprised when those opportunities come your way. Be ready for action because God never disappoints. Maybe the Lord will bring into your life one who is poor in spirit, one who feels like he is crushed on every side, he has been knocked down so many times, he simply cannot get back up again. And you can tell that person, yeah, that happened to me. I know how you feel. But I gave up trying to do it all myself. I put all my troubles into the Lord's hands and trusted in him. And he got me through it. Maybe the Lord will bring into your life one who is mourning the loss of a loved one. And you can remind that person that separation from their loved one is only for a short time. And because of Jesus, they will one day be reunited in heaven. Maybe the Lord will bring into your life someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, and they wonder if there is any good in the world or if there is only chaos and grief and turmoil everywhere. You can remind that person, yes, the Spirit of Jesus is alive and active in the hearts and minds and lives of many good and faithful people, bringing peace and hope and love to people all across this world. But what if? What if you sit down with a piece of paper in front of you and pen in hand and you simply cannot make such a list? What if you cannot enumerate your blessings and you have no idea how you might be able to share anything with anyone? If you find yourself in that kind of a situation, that's the time when you call your pastor. Call your church office. Ask to speak with either Pastor Snow or Pastor Myers. When one of them answers the phone, here's what you say to them. You say, Pastor, I've been trying to make a list of my blessings that I've received from the Lord in order to consider how I might share them with others, and I'm having a little bit of trouble figuring this out. Do you think, Pastor, that the two of us might sit down together and sometime and discuss this? Do you know what? A call like that would make your pastor's day. Either one of our pastors would be honored to sit down with you and help you with such a project. And such a project could change your life. Because nothing will bring more meaning and purpose and fulfillment in your life than focusing on the blessings that you have received from God and how you can share those blessings with others. Just as we have generously received from God, so we generously give to others. That is how God intends for us to live. That is the Christian way to live, and there is no better way to live. So this evening, we focus on three things. First, and most important of all, we praise and thank Jesus for riding into Jerusalem to die on the cross in order to bless us with his love and forgiveness. Second, we thank our friends from Guatemala for traveling so far all the way to Wichita so that they could be a blessing to us here this week. And thirdly, we ask God to be with us and guide us as we go out into the world, so that wherever we go, at home, at work, at school, or in our neighborhood, we too can share the blessings that the Lord has given to us with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, stand guard over our hearts and minds and keep us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.